Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back in the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
I Want to Take You Higher by Sly and the Family Stone. Sly Stone, one of the greats, died yesterday. He made music that was very up tonally, and music, the great music that was also very down. But to honor his life on his death, we'll go with an up.
So, can you just tell me a little bit about Sly Stone?
A real pioneer.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what?
Pretend I know nothing, which is close to the truth. So, usually close to the
truth. Yeah, so Sly Stone, Sylvester Stewart, was a band leader, musician, songwriter, band leader, who sort of emerged. He did some other stuff earlier on, but really emerged as the band leader of this band, Sly and the Family Stone, in California in the late 60s. That initially, he sort of came after James Brown, but came before, you know, a lot of the George Clinton, Stevie Wonder started earlier. But in terms of, like, you know, what Sly Stone did in the late 60s, early 70s really set the foundation for what a lot of R&B artists were able to do after that in terms of personal expression. Like, he really laid the foundation for what Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield did in the 70s, most definitely what Prince did in the 80s. I mean, without Sly Stone, there would probably be no Prince. But he led this band, Sly and the Family Stone, starting in the late 60s. And initially, it was a very utopian kind of band in terms of the sound, in terms of the spirit, in terms of the actual makeup and expression of the band, men and women, black and white, collaborating, working together, sharing their voices all coming through, which you hear in that song. And then, like, the music sort of turned, along with the world, sort of in the early 70s, and sort of the chaos of society and the chaos of his own personal life and some of his own personal problems sort of came through. And he made this incredible, sort of dark but incredible sort of funk album in the early 70s called There's a Riot Going On, which to me is one of the all-time great records. Made another great album after that, Fresh, but, like, There's a Riot Going On is really a touchstone. And so you can kind of learn a lot about America in the late 60s, early 70s, especially the civil rights movement, the way it rose and then sort of curdled after King's assassination, the way things fragmented in society. A lot of that comes through if you just spend some time with Sly and the Family Stone.
All right. Thank you, Chris. So after we talked to you yesterday, your piece posted, and I spent some time on it in the open today talking about it because – and it prompted a Jeff Calkins Show poll of what is the greatest need, because it's actually fairly bracing on the way you lay it out. Like, so point guard, let's go through them. Point guard, you've got Ja, Scottie Pippen Jr., and Zion Pullen. And they could that you could use reinforcement there, not because Scottie's not good at as a basketball player, but because right, Ja's going to miss 20 games anyway. You got to figure he always does, right? And so, and Scottie's not a pure point guard. Go ahead.
Well, and I also think to that point, I think there's I detect, and maybe the part of this will be the coaching change too. I detect there's probably been a little bit slight philosophical change there in terms of the value of a quote unquote point guard. They didn't carry a third point guard unless you count Yuki, right? You're right, going into last season, and they had played a lot of time with sort of non-point guard lineups. I think some of the turnover problems they had last year, some of the way Desmond Bane seemed overtaxed as a ball handler, the way that Isolo wants to emphasize more screening for guards, I think their philosophy is going to change about the value of quote unquote point guards, and so I think they are more likely to carry a third point guard, ball handler, more traditional ball handler type on the roster than they were a year ago.
Do you think that was not valuing point guard as much or overvaluing Desmond Bane's ability to be a point guard?
I don't know. I mean, I think he did have a lot of success in those lineups. So that success was more driven by the quality of the defense in those lineups. I wrote about that a lot over the years when that was happening. I think, I think the coaching change, I think the philosophy change in terms of being more screen-oriented, think the kind of offense Taylor Jenkins was running early in the year is less point guard-oriented, and the kind of offense Isola wants to run is more point guard-oriented. But I think to the point that you also threw in there, just the reality that John Moran misses games, and just baking that in makes it more important to have, like, a third point guard who can be the number two point guard, 25 games a season or whatever.
Could that be Zion Pullen?
I doubt it. I mean, I think it's not even a guarantee he's back on a two-way. Like, I think he'll be an interesting player for the summer league team. And depending on how he plays in summer league, like, he could move up or down. Down would be out, He could move up or out or just stay where he is. I think staying where he is the most likely scenario there. So I think they are likely to carry a third player you would slot as a point guard on the main roster. I think that it's unlikely to be Zion Pullen.
So it's not a crying need, but it's a definite need, it seems like, for this roster. So then you go to, and whether you break it up by scoring guard or small forward in the chart, and again, I'd urge people to read this over at the Daily Memphian, scoring guard looks like Desmond Bane, Vince Williams Jr., and Cam Spencer, and maybe that's fine, but like Vince Williams has moved from being a definite to a question mark, hasn't he? I mean, wouldn't you say he's a question mark at what he is at this point?
Yeah, he's a question mark. I have a lot of belief in him if he's healthy, but like in reality, he's most definitely a question mark. I also think to some degree there's some interchangeability at the two and the three, and I actually think, and this is something I'm going to write about probably next week, I think Jalen Wells is really a two. I think if you were starting a team from scratch and he was the first player you got, where would you slot him? I think you'd slot him as a scoring guard, not as a small forward. I think he plays small forward for the Grizzlies because they have Desmond Bane, right? And so when I'm thinking about the roster construction, I'm not thinking as much about a two guard. I'm thinking about a small forward because, like, I can play Jalen Wells at the two. I can play Scottie Pippen at the two. Like, I think they got guys to play at the two.
Whereas the small forward is pathetic, with all due respect. Like, particularly, like, it's Jalen Wells and then John Conchar, who've been trying to get rid of that contract forever, Gigi Jackson, who was terrible last year, and a malcontent, and that's it. It is the biggest need. It remains the biggest need. Center may be the most urgent need, short-term
pressing,
need.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the most pressing need in terms of how you start the season, maybe. I think they got bodies on the wing. They don't have a quantity problem, but they have a dearth of both size and experience. And if you could add someone who could bring you both size and experience on the wing, I think that would be very, 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 very wanted. Yes.
Power forward's fine, but it hinges on Santi, right? I mean, what you're going to do with Santi, and then centers at least and we don't, so much of this, it strikes me, and maybe so much of this depends on timeline. If they think Zach Edey's going to miss 10 games or 7 games, that's very different than if he's going to miss 30 games, right?
Yeah, no, I was thinking about the need to add a center who plays more his style. And before the injury, I was thinking about, like, who could you get for a minimum, or like, who could you get for, like, part of your exception, right? That sort of tier of player. And now I think the injury sort of makes you start to look at higher tiers of players. not that much higher because to the point of the story, they have limited mechanisms to add players. But I think the range of guys I would be looking at the center position has certainly expanded in the wake of the ED injury. Yes. But I'm looking for someone who's going to be a part of my team, even with a healthy Zach Edey.
Well, that's the problem. You don't want to spend, when you have these other needs, you don't want to spend too much of your limited assets on a center when you presume Zach Edey is going to return, and then you still have this yawning problem at the wing.
Well, yeah, another point, and I made this, I think I talked about this maybe on the pod with Drew. I got to figure out a way to write this. There's so much stuff, things that get kind of lost in the mix. I'm rewriting a lot over the next couple of weeks. The story I wrote yesterday, I wanted to sort of, before I got into, like, let's talk about a bunch of players they could theoretically sign or trade for, 99% of which they don't, which we do all the time, right? Which I'll do. I wanted to establish, like, what the reality is of what they have to work with, right? Because that's not going to change, right? That's the real stuff. But one point of this, as we focus on the team building in the summer, that I think is important, and I think they need to keep in mind themselves, not just us, is that, like, team building doesn't stop in the summer. And so one of the things I think they need to be cognizant of is putting themselves in better position to do team building stuff in season. And so, like I think they need to have some contracts you can trade, right? And what I write about yesterday, this gap between the salary cap and luxury tax and them maybe in a position where even if they want to spend all this money, they actually can't do it. There's just not mechanisms to do it. Like you can help yourself create those mechanisms into the season, right? So if you sign a player for $8.5 million, like you can trade that player for, you know, $15-16 million, right? I think they need, whether that happens all this summer or that's just like those are stair steps that are more strung out, I think they need to put themselves in better position to make moves in season too, not just in, you know, not just think you're gonna fix everything this summer.
Again, and this does it get into the weeds? Yes, but in a totally understandable way. So if people want to understand it, they can read the piece. But essentially, if you go with this Jaren renegotiate and extend, right now you need to give him a bigger contract, which you then can renegotiate a new contract off of in order to persuade him for it to be big enough for him to sign. Right now, you've got about, according to you, $6.9 million in space. And that's not enough. So you got to liberate some more. If you move on from John Conchar, which will cost you presumably assets just to do that, that's another $6.2 million. As you say, another smaller contract, whatever. So then you can go ahead. If you can do all that, you might be able to sign and extend Jaren Jackson Jr. You are there at roughly $154.6 million. You're basically at the cap line. But you are $33 million below the tax. So what's the dilemma here?
The dilemma here is that space under the cap is free money to spend. Space between the cap and the tax is not free money to spend. You can't, that's not cap space. You can't just spend it however you want. There are rules that govern what you can and can't do. And because they will have started under the cap, when you start under the cap, restrictions are imposed on you. And those restrictions carry over even once you spend to the cap line. And so those restrictions will eliminate a lot of mechanisms to use money. You know, there are different free agency exceptions out there. If you start above the cap, you have one. If you start below the cap, you have another, which is smaller. They'll, even once they spend to the cap, they still have the smaller free agency exceptions.
Is this, by the way, just as theoretical matter, is this because they want to discourage people from being under the cap? Or is this because if you're under the cap, presumably you have this this money you can spend, and so you don't need the exceptions in terms of the way they built this? Do you know?
It's more the latter, right?
Right.
Like, you know, and so it's that. And so you also lose your trade. You can't use trade exceptions if you're under the cap. And then there's sort of a battery of other things. And so the ultimate thing is there are only so many ways you can use money if you're in that position. And so they have the one free agency exception that's $8.8 million. You can always sign guys to minimum deals, and then you have trades. And trades sort of have their own limitations, right?
So the problem is that if this is the way it unfolds, we've just described the needs. You got the backup point guard need, you've got the wing need, you've got the center need. And the only mechanisms that you really have to get better are this $8.8 million hold exception and minimum right. contracts, unless you can trade, sure. But if you, who's really tradable besides the big three? Is like, does Brandon right. Clark have value? Does like Santi Aldama doesn't have value? John Conchar doesn't have value. Santi Aldama might have some value, but they don't have, they've got all these needs and they really don't have many mechanisms by which to address them. That's the dilemma.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, it's still a situation where like they have these needs, but they also still have like right. three players who the Ringer has as the top 50 players in the NBA on their most recent right. list. And they have two guys, and one of those guys is hurt at the start of the season, but two guys who just made first team all rookie. And they have another guy in Scottie Pippen who just scored like 60 points in back-to-back playoff games. And, you know, I mean, it's not like a barren wasteland there. They're still in a situation where, like, they need to get a lot from what they have, right? I mean, and so there is that. I think they're in an interesting spot in terms of thinking about the Santi thing. They have to have a major contributor from that slot. More than likely, that's Santi Aldama. It could be someone you trade Santi Aldama for. It could be that, you know, you let him go and you turn that $11 million into cap space and you sign a player. Whichever one of those, and I'm right about this too, those are three different paths. Whichever one of those paths they go down has to result in a high-level rotation player on the team.
You called it, I think, the most challenging offseason in recent memory. So, sure, they do have it's just tricky, I guess, is the way. I mean,
yeah.
Do you think, by the way, in all this stuff?
It's also tricky because it's uncertain, and that makes it a hard thing to talk about and write about because you can't say, okay, this is what they have to work with. I mean, we're doing that now, but we're choosing one path. What if they choose a different path? Well, then everything changes.
They choose a different path or a different path is thrust upon them. Yes. That was last question on this topic. We'll get to more. When do you think they already know what path they're going to go down? And when do you think they will know? Like,
I think they might already know. I don't know that they know. And I'm not supposed to, even if they knew, I'm not supposed to know that because they're not supposed to know.
Right.
Right. The reality right. is like what's supposed to happen and what actually happens are not the same thing. And like teams like talk to agents all the time and they talk to players. And like, this is why, like when the free agency negotiation period starts, you immediately get a flood of like reports of deals. Right.
Right.
And so like, that's that. I suspect they know, but I don't know that they know.
So we will know July 1. Like, we'll see what they're starting to do. Is that how we...
June 30th at, like, I can't remember because they do the Eastern time, Central time, all that. It's sometime late afternoon, evening, like 5 p.m., 6 p.m., something like that. June 30th will be the start of the negotiation period. And I think there's a chance that we get news immediately. I don't know that we will, but there's certainly a chance we will. When Desmond Bane did his contract extension, that popped out instantly, right? Now, with the Jaren thing, because his renegotiate and extend would likely be predicated on other moves that have to happen before that is signed, maybe you wait on that until the other moves, right? That could, even if you know you're going to do it, maybe you don't like leak that out before make the trade that allows that.
We'll know when John Conchar is moved, for example.
Could be, yeah. And so, you know, there's other stuff. Like, I haven't written about this at all. Drew and I have talked about it just because it has no bearing on what they do this summer necessarily. But, like, they might do a contract extension for John Morant. And there's no reason that if you have that in place, that wouldn't come out, like, day one if you already have it in place.
All right. Well, that's another topic for another day. Did you go see the Phoenician scheme?
I did. I saw it on Friday. They write a little bit about it in the movie thing. You know, I like it, but the last three Wes Anderson movies are a little bit, me, are sort of a piece, a little bit harder to get a hold of on a first watch. And most people only give things the first watch. They don't give things second and third watches. So I don't know. There is a lot there. It's very interesting to watch and to look at, and you know, but it's kind of dry and maybe a little bit harder to get your hands around than say like, you know, Rushmore, the Royal Tenenbaums, or some of the early stuff.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You know, all of a sudden, Jeffrey, I got a whole bunch of things I can ask him about now. We can ask him about Ja, renegotiate and extend. We can ask him about, we you know, we got to dive into the Ringer Top 50. We haven't even touched that yet. So we have a whole lot more we can get to Chris to over the course of the
It is summer. Funny. I don't even think of that as an option, but that makes sense.
It had not occurred to me either. All right. If you are looking for a place to go eat a po' boy, and why wouldn't you be, I'd suggest Ragin' Cajun. It is the new place, relatively at this point, in Bartlett. Mason Jambon, who's from Louisiana, decided he wanted a neighborhood place, neighborhood-feeling place of the kind that, you know, that you get all over the place in Louisiana. Good food, good people, good atmosphere. And so Claire and I went the other day and showed up, and sure enough, they got a great patio. We got a crawfish queso and the sausage plate for appetizers. Both totally recommend. Absolutely 100% recommend. We got a catfish dish, which I can't even begin to describe. It was over the top, opulent the way it was. Absolutely delicious, and had a crawfish right on top of it. Just looking at you. It was a spectacle. It was a glorious buttery dish. And I loved that too. The po' boy, I got an oyster po' boy. Tremendous. Very good oyster po' boy. I've heard very good things about the shrimp po' boy as well from people who've just written me. And the white chocolate bread pudding. Sensational. Absolutely sensational. It's Ragin' Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road, right there in Bartlett. I live in East Memphis. Took me, you know, no time at all, 10 minutes to get there. But if you're out in Bartlett, by all means, stop by. But wherever you are in Memphis, if you want a nice neighborhood place and great Cajun food, it is Ragin' Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday, properly on Tuesday, back on Tuesday, when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. He joins me now, and he always sends me a list. Now he says the top of the list is there's breaking news. Is someone holding out from an NFL camp, Charles? Is that what you want to tell us?
First of all, before we get to the breaking news, you know what just happened?
No.
Here at Fish on Friday headquarters, sometimes on Tuesday, sometimes on Friday.
Couldn't venture a guess.
Preemptive peeing every single week. Preemptive peeing
before the show.
Right in the usual. Sometimes I'm worried Jeffrey's going to call during the preemptive.
That's terrible. Did you read that story about preemptive peeing? It was.
I'm amazed, because I will say, I recommend you get the digital edition of the New York Times. You can scream and shout about the politics. 99% of the New York Times is beautiful, amazing factual reporting. We're going to rely on it today. Mm-hmm. for rare earth discussion, yes. Not the Center for Strategic and International Studies that Jeffrey was citing, but the New York Times. And I go to the list of most read stories, and I read the New York Times 3 or 4 times a day. Like when I'm walking the dog, I just go to the app and see what's there. And I'll tell you what I'm amazed at. Half the stories on the list of the most read are not stories I've ever seen, and I read half of that half. I'm amazed. That's where I found the story about the Australian dog, in fact. And by the way, what is it? I get enraged? You say I'm not that funny.
If I ever spill the beans or hint at a story or give any of the details of a story that you planned for this segment, you fly into a rage. Yes.
Fly into a rage.
Okay, maybe that's hyperbole.
But here's what's interesting. You and I actually have the same, very different manners, very different approaches. People don't know that you often send me math problems in a text while you're writing a column
simplest.
To make sure you get the math
like addition,
correct.
Like addition. Like, yes, go ahead. Yes.
Well, percentages usually. You can handle the addition. And yet we have exactly the same instinct for the wonderful telling detail. We're going to have the perfect example of that, again, in the rare earth magnets today. And so when I tell you, if I tell you something, you often just put, you don't even wait. You'll do
almost
it on
never.
Monday.
Almost never.
I
almost
hold
never.
Stories. I don't even tell you because I'm worried you'll use it up.
This is not couples therapy.
Here's the breaking news.
Had you read the peeing story? Had you read the peeing story before I referred
I
to?
I read the peeing story. I did not even know.
Did you know we can hold 5 cups of pee in our bladder? But normally you're told that you need to pee.
You know what five cups of pee is?
No idea.
That's 2 full water bottles. The water bottles have 500 milliliters, half a liter. And 5 what? Cups is
no,
five
wait a second. Wait, no, I didn't say 5. I misspoke. The answer is
3 to 4 for men.
3 cups for men, which is 700 milliliters. 3 cups for men.
Right.
And so 3 cups, that's still a lot of pee.
I think most men, to be honest, would have trouble overflowing an empty commercial water bottle. That you would buy at the store.
Commercial water bottle. Well, how big is a water bottle?
Half a liter, 500 milliliters.
You mean a Coke bottle? Don't you think most men could fill up a Coke bottle?
No, Coke bottle is bigger. Coke bottle is a little bigger. But maybe, I don't know, you know? Anyway, I think we're off in
the
week. I don't want to think about
What's
men
the breaking
peeing
news?
Into bottles. Here's the breaking news. The breaking news is so urgent. I hope everybody's listening because it's service news. TSA has actually issued an official request to people. Do not attempt to use your Costco member card as your real ID in the airport. So many people are producing their Costco real ID card. The TSA posted the following official notice on its Facebook page. We love hot dogs and rotisserie chicken as much as the next person. Please stop telling people their Costco cards count as real ID. It absolutely does not. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it has your picture on it, and it is a actual ID. But
and it is
a real
ID. It's real. It's not fictional. It's not imaginary.
Not,
it is a real
not,
ID.
It's just, it's not. They're not accepting your Costco.
Right,
what's interesting is,
damn it.
What's interesting is, Costco won't accept your driver's
real
license.
Real ID to buy out, right, to get
ID.
In the, right, no. All right, so yesterday when I talked to you at one point, you were watching some Apple thing. What were you watching?
Well, Apple has a bunch of events over the course of the year. The big event is in the fall, usually the first week in September, which is where they reveal the new iPhones,
right.
New laptops, new iPads, and also lots of new software. But there's an event every June called WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference. And they invite thousands of people who write code, who write computer programs, to Apple Park to spend a week learning about Apple's software so they can write apps and programs for it. And they literally spent 5 days at Apple going to very specific, these are people whose job is writing code, and it's like an industry conference. They go learn how Apple has changed its underlying code so they can write, you know, your hiking app or your compass app or your journaling app in a way that takes advantage of everything Apple has to offer. And on the Monday of worldwide of WWDC, there's a quote unquote keynote. There's an hour long, and yesterday it was 90 minutes, where they introduce nothing but new software. Here's what's new. Last year they said AI was coming to your phone. And somebody said this morning on CNBC, it is the first time in memory that Apple has announced a product it hasn't actually succeeded in introducing. We don't have AI with Siri on our phone. So that last year was a disappointment. Yesterday was kind of an amazing event. They unleashed all kinds of cool stuff. The big news was they're changing how your iPhone and the screen, the work screen on your laptop or your computer and your iPad and CarPlay, some people may use CarPlay with their phone in their car, how that looks. They're unifying it so that the computer screen and the phone screen and the iPad screen all look much more similar. And they're modernizing it with a whole new design they called Liquid Glass. And if you're curious and you don't know anything about this, just go online to YouTube and type Apple event Liquid Glass and you'll see it's going to be quite.
How's it going to change me, my life?
Here's some of the things they introduced yesterday that are straight up software things that are kind of amazing. How's it going to change you? Your phone will look cool. Your phone will look different if you want it to. But they're introducing real-time translation of text messages, real-time translation of FaceTime calls, real-time
translation
of phone calls.
Into other languages?
If you're texting with somebody in Spanish, you text them in English, they text you back in Spanish, your English is translated to their Spanish, their Spanish is translated to your English instantly in real time. On FaceTime, you will get real-time closed captions, real-time captioning at the bottom for somebody you're talking to who's speaking Portuguese or who's speaking German or who's speaking French. Can we just pause and say, that's incredible.
That's incredible.
And it's free. It's free. They're improving the call screening system. If you get a call from a number that's not in your contacts or that is not a familiar number that you call, maybe you don't have the vet in your contacts, but the vet is called often enough that it's logged in your phone, it will go to a call screening diversion where the phone will say, tell us your name and why you're calling. Then AI will put that on your screen and ring your phone. But it won't do it until the person calling gives you that information. So it will literally divert all those. I have a 919 area code because we got our phones.
All the spam stuff? All the spam stuff?
I get three calls a day from 919 area codes that are all spam because they think I live in North Carolina. Those will all be diverted.
But wait, the ones in your own area code will not be the 202? Is it 202? Is that
no, what everything. Anything that's unknown. I'm just saying I get a lot of spam for nothing, right? Yeah. Even better, when you call an airline or a credit card company or your insurance company and it says, we're experiencing unusually high call volume, how could that possibly have ever happened to them? You can touch a button called Hold Assist on your screen. You can then go do whatever you want with the phone, including your email, searching Safari, making another phone call. And when the hold stops and a person comes on the line, the phone will tell you that it's time to pick up and talk to the customer service representative. I recently called AT&T because we have a child traveling in Europe and I wanted to update our plan, which I decided not to do. The whole time was literally 1 hour and 20 minutes to talk to my cell phone provider. I ended up doing whatever, you know, texting with the bot online. But anyway, I wouldn't have to do anything. I'd just press Hold Assist and go about my business. Brilliant. Group messages in the iPhone message text will now, for the first time, have a typing indicator in a group. So you can see not just that someone's sending a message in reply to the other messages, but who it is who's typing. People have been waiting for that for a long time. Visual intelligence, you can screen cap something on your phone and then ask AI, just touch a button on the image that you just screen capped. Can you find me where I could buy this jacket. Can you tell me what the history of this Incan pyramid is?
Isn't there already some of that? Like, you can do a picture, take a picture of a plant and identify the plant. Or do you have to go to an app to do that?
You have to have an app for that. And you don't have to take a picture here. You can screen cap something from your actual phone, or you can do it as an image.
And as you point out, one of the astonishing things about all this is that they reach into your phone and upgrade it, and you're getting all of these things. Now, it's for free. You bought into the Apple universe, and you're paying. You paid for an Apple Pro, whatever else. But, you know, when you get the new Madden or whatever it is, you've got to go buy it.
They don't give it to you for free. In the old days, the next Windows was not free. And I have to buy Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and all that every year for the we have the family plan, so everybody can use it. Every year they charge me. This is all free. There were 36. There was a screen that they just flashed up on the screen. They didn't even talk about 36 hidden new features. Small. You can change the snooze time on your alarm. The snooze time has for 14 years been 9 minutes. Your alarm goes off at 6:15. You press snooze. It's 9 minutes. You can now decide if you want a snooze time that's 11 minutes or a snooze time that's 7 minutes. You can adjust the snooze time. The camera will tell you when the lens needs to be cleaned. The Apple Maps will keep a log of each of your locations secretly off to the side.
Jeff, he's gone. He's gone. What happened? We lost him. Apple reached in. As he is spilling all of Apple's secrets, Apple reached in and cut him off. Absolutely cut him off in quite literally mid-sentence. And so Jeffrey is endeavoring to get our man in Washington, D.C. back. It could be a symbol that it is time to move on to the next topic. And I have the list of topics right here in front of me. So maybe he didn't charge his phone. Maybe he didn't charge his phone. We'll see what happens as he's trying to get. It is funny. I am not a sophisticated user of my phone at all. And so I don't use all of these things. So here we go. He is now, just to give you an update. We are endeavoring to get him back on. He's now texting us madly.
That's an all new one.
Hello.
Just a couple more. You can, I've always wanted this. If you're copy a message.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This may be it, Charles. This may be it. We may have no Charles Fishman today. This may be, we may have no fish on Friday, on Tuesday. We will try it one more time. If not, we will, we'll take a break and we'll see what happens here. We're going to have to fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Friday again, if we don't get Fishman back on, because people need what the people need. We are trying again. So no fish on Friday, on Tuesday. Should we take a break, Jeffrey? We're gonna try one more time here. We got you back. Go ahead. Let's move on to the next thing. Maybe
let's move on. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's move
on. I want to move
on
to
the AirPods. Will turn off your phone automatically.
I don't know what we heard. I want to move on to minerals. We promised people minerals at the top of the show. So let's get to the, what are they called? Rare minerals?
They're called rare earth minerals.
Yeah.
And there's a huge fight between the U.S. and China over rare earth minerals. This is kind of the pivot at the moment of the trade and tariff fight. It's the lever China is using. Tell me what you
want to
know about rare earths.
Well, I don't know. It is funny. I've read this all along. Like, here's the problem. We're having a trade war with China, and they're cutting us off of their rare earth minerals. So I'd only heard of rare earth minerals within the last 6 months. I never heard the expression before. Why am I only hearing about it now? What are rare earth minerals, and why does China have all of them?
Well, you're only hearing about it now because they're kind of one of those secret ingredients in things that if you're not in manufacturing, if you're not in the business world, if you don't cover those things, you wouldn't have come across it. I've certainly heard about them, but I didn't know much about them. Rare earth minerals are vital to producing things like semiconductors, the dyes when you take an X-ray and they need to image the inside of your body, all kinds of magnets, all kinds of lightweight alloys that you put into defense products like airplanes. But Keith Bradshaw of the New York Times, who's based in China, did an incredible story on them. And it just has some wonderful statistics. A luxury car with a motorized seat, the driver's seat will have 12 rare earth magnets in it just to make that one seat move. An F-35 fighter has 35 pounds of rare earth magnets in it. So these are really, really important. There's 17 kinds of rare earth metals. A quote-unquote rare earth metal is a fundamental element like you used to see in the periodic chart that we all memorized. You memorized it, didn't you, in seventh grade?
Once upon a time, I knew the periodic chart of elements. Correct.
Exactly. So iron and nickel and copper, they're on the periodic chart. Those are basic core metals. They're not alloys. They're not brass. Brass is a mixture of two things. Steel is a mixture of metals. The rare earths are along the bottom of the periodic table, and there are 17 of them. And of those 17, 7 turn out to be really important, in part because they have catalytic properties. They help make other things, or they have these magnetic properties. A rare earth magnet is 15 times stronger than an iron magnet of a similar size. The perfect example of this, again, Keith Bradshaw mentioned this, are the clasps on purses. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but some purses have magnetic clasps and they snap closed very powerfully.
Yeah.
Those are using rare earth magnets. So, and they're not rare. The elements themselves are not rare. They're called rare because they're hard to process. They're hard. They tend to mix together with each other. They're hard to separate. And they don't, when you go looking for a metal, you want a lot of it in one place. There's plenty of rare earth metals, but they're not found in concentrations worth mining, except in a few places. We actually have plenty of rare earth metals. China has plenty. Getting them out of the ground is a messy and complicated process. We tend to let other nations do messy mining because of our environmental rules. Processing them, once you've got the raw dirt, the raw ore, requires, in the case of these 7, it often requires 100 steps requiring caustic chemicals. Make this, then make that. Make that, and then make that. Over and over and over again with liquid chemicals. And that causes tremendous pollution. You have to manage that very carefully. The factories in China are half a mile long. So China mines 70% of the ore, but processes 90% of it. We are the second largest, and we send our raw ore to China. So why have we let this critical? So they've turned it off.
Well, we've obviously let it out of environmental concerns, right? And now they have these, right, all of these, and they're wielding this against us in our trade negotiations. Is that right?
We have given over to them a critical. This is not baby clothes or Tonka trucks. This is something, Ford this last week closed a plant in Chicago because it couldn't get magnets to produce Ford Explorers. Wow. So that's how vital they are. And so they're using it. They're using it as a tool. Why don't we just build a factory in America to process these?
Yeah, why don't we?
Well, all the stuff about factories aside, you know, you build a factory over the course of 2 years, not over the course of 2 weeks. 39 universities in China teach the geology and chemistry of rare earth metals and their use in manufacturing. How many universities in America teach?
None. Zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
39 in China.
Before,
zero.
But the world conspired against us here, but because by cutting you off, so we don't have as much time. But did you want to say something about particularly the coverage of what is happening in Los Angeles?
I did. I want to say two things. I mean, the most important thing is America is built on protest, on peaceful, even if noisy protest. You don't snuff out protest. And protest is not chaos. Guess what the Boston Tea Party was, right? Protest. The country was born in protest, and the First Amendment specifically, the First Amendment, before the Second Amendment, before the one about guns, is the one about protesting and petitioning your government for change. I think TV is uniquely unqualified to cover protests. TV doesn't cover peaceful protests. Look. Hey, here's beautiful video of 2,000 people protesting outside the ICE detention center in Los Angeles. Nothing's happening. Sam, we're going live to you. What's happening? Nothing. Nothing's happening. What they cover
chanting.
At a protest.
Yeah.
Right, chanting. What they cover at a protest is conflict. Oh, we seem to have some conflict with the police officers. Somebody's throwing a water bottle. Okay, that's not the protest. I watched hours of coverage over the weekend and yesterday on CNN and also on Fox, by the way, and on MSNBC. They never once said, let's take a step back and remind you what people are protesting about. It was just, here's what the cops are doing. Here's what the National Guard. It's like.
And you go to any hotspot. Literally, it is interesting.
Right.
It is interesting.
You go to the hotspots.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like covering the Philadelphia Eagles football game. By covering the fights in the stand between drunk fans. Literally, that is what it's like. And so there are now 4,000 National Guard and 700 U.S. Marines to quote-unquote manage protests, which probably at the most have had 1,000 or 2,000 people. So the L.A. Police Department is more than capable of handling this. The L.A. Police Department has 8,000 uniformed officers. They don't need. So Donald Trump, this is purely performative, but also.
But he's always been quick. You know, when the Capitol was under siege, how quickly he called out the National. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Right.
I
exactly.
had that wrong. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you, Charles. Appreciate
so
it. Yes.
He also cares which side is protesting. You want a president who says we prize protest. We don't prize destroying cars and property.
And we do not.
But protect
do
all
not
you
on
want.
This we do not on this show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Thank
have
you.
A good week.
See you later. Try to work on your communications systems. What do you think happened there, Jeffrey? Do we have any idea what went wrong? Just live radio, baby. Live
yeah,
radio.
I don't know if that was on our end or not.
Whatever. We got through it. We
yeah.
live to do.
We live
to,
fight,
to
day.
Fight another day. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson going to join them during hour number one. Tim Murray going to be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Colin Wilson of the Action Network is going to preview the College World Series with us. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. For now, work is done.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.